Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the first edition of the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Reading Post. My name is Dan Wimbush and I'm the editor over at the Tarlhurst End, which is an independent fan blog and website covering all things Reading Football Club. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by the Reading Post Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, thank you. Up bright and early on this Friday morning. And it always feels good to be talking about Reading in a week when we've won. It's always nice how that glow lasts through the week.
I know, it helps with a little bit of sunshine as well for once. So all in all, a good end to the week.
Absolutely. And so just to quickly explain what this podcast is, you may have heard our main podcast, the Tarlhurst End Podcast, which you can find over at thetarlhurstend.com. That we sort of discuss through all of the big sort of issues of the week and do a few other things like pub chat and do all sorts of predictions. But we thought we'd start a new little show with Charles on a Friday, just so we can get a bit more of a focus on the game ahead and pick up some of the latest injury lines and big stories of the week. But before we go into the next game, which is Blackburn at home, let's have a take our minds back to that game on Sunday at QPR, Charles. 3-1 win for Reading. What did you think of it?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was probably the standout result of the season. In fact, I know there's obviously been a couple of high-scoring ones. You look at the 7-1 not too long ago, but I think this one, just going to Loftus Road, you know, going to a side like QPR and turn them over so convincingly, especially in front of the TV cameras as well, I thought it was a fantastic result, a fantastic performance. Some brilliant goals as well. I mean, everyone's been talking about Gareth McCleary's goal and, you know, what an amazing strike it was. Certainly got everyone off their seat. It did me in the press box as well, I have to say, because I was peering around the metal pillar at Loftus Road to see if it had gone in or not. But it was just a fantastic goal. But I think it's actually taken a little bit away from the performance itself because it was so impressive from Reading. And everyone's been talking about Gareth's goal, rightly so, since. But I thought the performance itself, you know, going to QPR, who have a very good defensive record. I think that's only the second time they conceded 3 goals all season in the league. And to go there and win so convincingly, I thought it was very, very good.
Yeah, and especially after having to play sort of the last 20 minutes or so with 10 men, Kasper Gorch sent off for a foul on Junior Hoylett. Obviously, that was one of the stories this week, Reading appealing a red card for the second time in as many games. And for the second time in as many games, they've had that repealed. So Gorch won't be suspended. What did you think of the tackle at the time and of Reading's chances to get that rescinded?
Well, I didn't think it was a red card. I said it at the time. I mean, obviously, it happened the other side of the pitch for me, but we had replays in front of us, and I had a look at it, and I didn't think it was a red card at all. I put that out on Twitter straight away, saying it was an awful decision, and I was quite surprised at quite a few responses I got back, saying, no, it was a bad tackle. It was a definite red, but I didn't think it was. I mean, it was a slightly rash tackle. He went in pretty quickly, but as I was speaking to Kasper about it yesterday, and as he told me, you know, if you don't go in fast on Julia Hoyley, you're not really going to have much chance of getting the ball. And so, yeah, it was a foul. He did get a slight touch on the ball first as well, I have to say. But I never thought it was a red card, not at all. So I wasn't at all surprised that Reading appealed it. Immediately after the game, I went down pitch side and was speaking to Nigel, getting his response to the result, and I asked him about it. And he was a bit sort of, he wasn't sure if he was going to appeal it or not. And he was actually quite critical of Kasper's for making the challenge, considering where it was in the pitch. And he was like, I don't really think he needed to make it. But he said he'd have a look and everything. And I think having gone back, you know, sort of calmed down a little bit, watched his replays, I'm not surprised at all that he did appeal it, especially given that Kasper was facing a 4-game ban. We're not just talking a 1-gamer here, you know. It's almost a third of the remaining games of the seasons he would have missed. So I wasn't at all surprised. And I wasn't surprised the FA overturned it. I was surprised they overturned Alex Pearce's the week before, but not this one. I just did not think it warranted a red card.
No, and it's nice to see some common sense coming from the FA, two decisions that were, you know, fundamentally wrong, and they've realised that, because it would have been quite easy for them to try and back the ref in those circumstances and make some sort of argument for it. But no, it's nice to see a bit of common sense prevail, and I'm sure nobody's delighted.
Just quickly on that, I was quite surprised. You know, it shouldn't come into it at all, but the fact that they'd overturned a decision a week earlier, I thought, would that have an effect on this one? You know, is it a case of twice in a week with the same club suddenly saying, no, the referee's got it wrong? I just thought, maybe the FA might sort of take that into account a bit. But like you said, it's a sensible decision, and I'm glad they came to the right one.
Yeah, I think we joked on the main edition of the podcast earlier this week that Reading have got some sort of direct hotline to the FA now, some sort of bat phone installed, regular callers now.
It's Nigel Atkins' writing skills, I think, because he's the man who has to do it. He has to write a letter, a personal letter to the FA explaining why it should be overturned. I think he could go into his own business about it. I mean, he's been so successful.
Well, I suppose the only slight downside, if there is a downside to it all, is poor Michael Hector, who for the past two games now has probably thought, here's my chance to really make a name for myself at the football club. I know you wrote a piece saying it was his time to shine after Alex Pearce got dismissed a couple of weeks ago. But now it looks like he's just going to have to be patient for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, like you say. I'm sure he was sitting on the bench. Well, actually, he came on for the last 20 minutes. But I'm sure on the coach on the way home, he was thinking, right, geez, I've got three or four games now where I'm going to be starting. This is my real chance. But, you know, he's young. He's a young defender. And his time will come. We're right in the hustle and bustle with the sort of playoff chasing time of the season. So, you know, I think he's just going to have to accept it. Obviously, he wants to start. I think everyone's really excited to see what he can do because we've all seen glimpses of him up in Scotland. We know he's a decent-looking defender. We're all quite excited to see him have a run in the side. But, you know, he's a young defender. I think he's just going to have to bide his time. He's just going to have to stay patient. I mean, that's all kind of... This is all... There's a contract thing sort of hovering over all of this as well, as we know he's out of contract at the end of the season. So I think, again, we'd like to see him have a chance in the side, see what he can do, and hopefully that will persuade him to get some sort of new deal done. So it's a tough one with Michael. I mean, like I said, I did write that opinion piece, and I thought it was going to be his chance to really show us what he can do. But unfortunately for him, but fortunately for Reading, the FA have kind of decided otherwise and reinstated Kasper's goal. So, you know, he's a young lad. He'll get plenty of opportunities.
You mentioned his contract situation there. You said it's up in the summer. Browsing the Get Reading website today, you've been down speaking to Nigel Adkins, and one of those topics of discussion has been contracts. What is the latest with, because there's quite a few Reading players coming up to the end of their deals this season and next summer.
There is, which is why I started pushing Nigel on it yesterday, and I was a little bit surprised by his response. You know, he's saying, we'll have to sort out what happens with the ownership issue, and then we'll have a better indication of where that will go. And a little bit surprising, given that there are so many players out of contracts, although he tempered that by saying we've probably got the fewest number of players out of all the clubs in the league who are out of contract, and he actually asked me to list them when I said you've got a lot of players out. He's like, oh, who's that then? And I went through it, and I think, you know, we've got Jason Roberts, who's one of those who obviously isn't going to be around next season, but there's still sort of six there, and included in that is an experienced players like Kasper, of course, and your club captain in Joby, and then some young talents like Jake Taylor, obviously Michael Hector, we've got Leggettwood, who's obviously a bit of a forgotten man because of his injury this season. He's out of contract. I think Gozzy Ogwu's even out of contract at the end of the season. And so there are a lot of players there. And it seems that, again, this ownership issue that's just constantly surrounding the club, that's just hanging like a cloud over Madeira Stadium, again, is having that effect where, unfortunately, no one's been able to get anything done because of this ownership issue. You know, I spoke to Kasper's about it yesterday. I've spoke to Joby many a times this season about it, and it's just they're just getting silence from the club. You know, there are no talks going on, and you know, Nigel has now indicated that is because of the ownership issue, and there's not really anything he can do about it. And it is a worrying thing, given that, you know, so you're talking about sort of six members of a first team squad who technically might be leaving on a free in the summer, and without much funds to bring players in, then, you know, that's going to leave a big hole in the squad. So I think that's something that certainly everyone's going to need to keep an eye on, and I'm sure it's something that the club will want to get sorted and sorted soon.
Absolutely. I mean, in such circumstances, it's good that we've got the distraction of some good form on the pitch.
Yeah.
And this Saturday, Blackburn visit, they're still one of those teams that will think they've got a chance at the playoffs if they put a good run together. What do you expect to see from Blackburn on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I'm expecting a Reading victory. I'll start with that. Like you say, they are still in with a sniff, Blackburn. I think that's why it's so important that Reading don't give them any sort of hint of a chance this Saturday, because they're 7 points ahead. If Blackburn, you know, win at the Madeira, suddenly that gap's down to four, and you know, there's still 14 games to go, and they're very much in the hunt. So it's a real important game, I feel, for this one for Reading, because a lot of people are talking about top two, but I think it's very important not to get carried away from that. I think that's out of reach, I have to say. And it's very, very important. The little gap there is between sort of sixth and seventh now, we can't let that get any smaller. It's really important that we keep those teams below out of sight, and we can just focus on getting in these playoffs. I think top two is it's a very unrealistic reach, really. You've got 10 points between Burnley and Reading, and there's teams in between. I can't see all of them dropping enough points. So it's, for me, the important thing is making sure that we are safely embedded in these playoff spots. And a game like Saturday is very important to that. Just talking about Blackburn themselves, I mean, they had a tough season. It kind of mirrors Reading, really. There's a lot of instability off the pitch. And I think that had an effect, certainly, the first quarter of the season. But they've found some stability now, and results have improved, and they've slowly started moving up the league. So I don't think it's going to be easy for Reading. I think it's going to be, you know, first goal, as usual, being very important. But I think Reading will have too much for them.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed. Obviously, they've got that the main threat of Jordan Rhodes. He's one of the top goal scorers in the division. They'll have to... Pearson Gorks will have to be on their guard to keep him quiet. But hopefully, I mean, this is, well, I mean, again, we said earlier in the podcast earlier this week, if Reading do want to consider themselves serious promotion contenders, these are the games they're going to have to win. Like, there's only so many times you can slip up against teams like Sheffield Wednesday before it comes back to bite you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's it. You look at who Reading have beaten this season, and you know, there's victories against QPR, victories against Derby, victories against Nottingham Forest, and yet we got these defeats that seem to pop up, like you say, against Sheffield Wednesday. It's very important that we start beating these teams who are expected to win. You know, that's what needs to happen between now and the end of the season. And I do think it will. I mean, Reading look a very, very different team now to the one that started the season, full of confidence, attacking well. There's goals in the team. You've got players like Gareth McCleary, banging form. Joby McAnuff, who's been exceptional for the last 6 weeks. Pogrebniak, obviously, been very good the whole way through the season. Alfie scoring goals. Danny Williams now beginning to score goals and just delivering all-round performances. Hopatpan, you know, growing with every single game. You've got Danny Guthrie to come back in when needed. So it's very positive now for Reading. 5 wins in 7, full of confidence. And I really think now we're seeing a different team to the one that struggled so much during the first quarter of the season. And like I said, I think they'll have too much for Blackburn. Talking about Jordan Rhodes quickly as well, he hasn't scored since New Year's Day. I think it's about 8 games without a goal now, which is probably one of his longest barren spells for many a year. So hopefully he doesn't break that on Saturday.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, but the team are flying at the moment, and they've named an unchanged side, I think, for what, seven games in a row now?
Yeah, seven games in a row.
So I can't really, obviously, I don't expect to see any team changes for Saturday, but what's the status of some of the injured players? Do we expect to see the likes of Jem Carrichan and Sean Morrison before the end of the campaign?
Well, Jem certainly is hopeful, but you know, he tempers that hope with saying, I'm not putting my career at risk just to come back to try and get back before the end of the season. I think we should pretty much rule Jem out. If he does play, it'll be a massive bonus. But these sort of injuries, you just cannot rush them back. You can't. You can do it again. And so I think we'll just rule Jem out. Sean Morrison and Wayne Bridge, Nigel Atkins was hoping to have back in February. Obviously, but we're on the 21st of February now, and we're not seeing any sign of them. And they haven't joined. They're not joining in full training yet. So I think that's certainly we're going to be looking at next month for those two. Leisurewood, again, I think he's got a trip to the specialist in a couple of weeks, which will determine what happens next. I'm not overly hopeful that we'll see Mikhail again, but that's just a little bit, you know, just a hunch here. But Nigel's certainly hopeful. He keeps talking that we might get something out of Mikhail before now and the end of the season. But I think the main two are certainly Wayne Bridge and Sean Morris. I know I'm not expecting that to be season enders by any means. They're both on their feet. They're both running. They're both joining in light training. But it's just getting them into that full contact training, which seems to be taking a little bit of extra time. So I think we might have to wait till sort of March, mid-March to see them back.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed. I mean, with no money to bring any players in on loan, to use the cliche, it will be like having new signings, getting those players back in and around the squad. So fingers crossed they can come back. So just before we finish then, score prediction for the Blackburn game on Saturday?
I've gone for 3-0 in the paper. I'm like I said, I'm feeling positive about about things at the moment. I'm thinking 3-0, fairly comfortable win.
I think I went for, I'm trying to remember what I predicted earlier in the podcast earlier this week. I think I went for 2-0. I think it was a clean sweep of wins between myself, my co-host Johnny and Westy. So
everyone predicting wins. That shows how confident everyone is.
Yeah, well, I think I'm saying that. I think we all did that for the Sheffield Wednesday game, and we all saw how that one panned out. So, yeah, hopefully for no early red cards and penalties this week.
Yeah, do you know who the referee is on Saturday?
No, I do not.
It is our friend from the Brighton game earlier in the season.
He sent off Mr. Pogrebniak.
Sent off two players. Graham Scott from Oxfordshire, he sent off two players on that day, didn't he? I think 77 bookings and 10 red cards in 22 games this season. So he's not averse to taking the card out of his pocket.
No, well, as I said, we could do with a game without where we don't have to use the bat phone to the FA.
Yes, yeah. I think so. I think Nigel's letter writing skills can only last so long.
Exactly. Stationery's got to run out at some point. But no, fingers crossed then we can pick up that win. Just before we go then, where can we follow you on Twitter?
The usual, @Charles_Watts.
Lovely stuff. And I said you can follow all of the latest Reading news on both the Get Reading website at getreading.co.uk, and also for more fan opinion and analysis, you can head over to the Tireless End's website, which is thetirelessend.com. The main podcast is also up on the website. You can find that again at thetirelessend.com, and that comes out usually every Wednesday or Thursday morning. We sort of changes week to week really, depending on how busy we are and if there's a midweek game. And hopefully we're going to be releasing this every Friday up on the Get Reading website and on the Tireless End's site. And it will be on our iTunes feed as well. So if you'd like to automatically subscribe, you can go there. But all the details will be up on the site and on the article. So follow those. But thanks very much for joining us. And Charles, hope to speak to you next week.
Yes, indeed. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
The Tirelhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetirelhurstend.com.